Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, now to get some intelligent talk about the Super Bowl and a guy who is clearly in possession of who's going to win this game is Brian Costello, and he is brought to you by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. By Security Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer. And by Digital Ally, Capture Truth, a proud partner of MetLife Stadium. Well, I've really set you up for one there, Brian.
Yeah,
you know who's going to win, right?
Yeah. I know the winner, yeah. That's a tough one, Richard. And I might not be able to hear you this morning because I saw Guns N' Roses last night down here. So my ears are still ringing.
Oh, okay. Well, look at last year's Super Bowl where, you know, you got a Patriots team, you got an L.A. Rams team who could score at will with a great young quarterback, great running back, receivers, the whole deal, and it turned out to be a low-scoring game, and the old Patriots figured out a way to win. Belichick came up with a defense that stifled that Rams offense. Now, I'm not saying that Robert Saleh is Bill Belichick yet.
Right.
Maybe he will be someday, but do you see a way to contain Pat Mahomes? Not stop him, but keep him down to three touchdowns or so?
Well, you never know. I mean, that's what that game last year taught us. You know, you don't know what to expect in sports. That's why we watch them. You know, that's why it's fun. But I think it's going to be tough. You know, Jared Goff is a good quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a generational quarterback. Like, and with Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins around him, he just has so many weapons. And he's so good at extending plays. I think they're going to have a hard time containing him. As good as the 49ers defense has been, you know, I think the Chiefs are going to put up some points tomorrow.
Well, yeah, a case could certainly be made for that because, you know, even though they have that great pass rush, the four-man pass rush, he, as you say, extends plays. He takes things where you look, okay, he's going to get tackled behind the line. He's going to get sacked, and he turns out, you know, holding the ball for 5 seconds, and somebody gets open downfield, and boom, 7 points.
Yep, and I saw Von Miller from the Broncos, the great pass rusher, talking about it on one interview this week where he said most quarterbacks, when they get pressure, they're taught to step up into the pocket and throw. And that helps you get sacks because, you know, they're actually getting closer to the line of scrimmage. Mahomes is able to go backwards, which most quarterbacks are not able to do, and extend plays that way and avoid sacks and still make throws because his arm is so strong. So I just, you know, watching Patrick Mahomes up close and seeing him in the playoffs has just been, it's just so impressive. It's hard for me to imagine anyone shutting him down. I mean, look at his game-by-game log, Richard. He doesn't have bad games. Like, that's the incredible part about him as a young quarterback. You expect ups and downs, and we've seen it with Sam Darnold in New York and Daniel Jones in New York, and it doesn't happen with Patrick Mahomes. He's just been, every game has been a pretty good game.
That is true. And you know, with pass rushes, they always say, well, you know, contain. Keep your lanes. Don't get undisciplined. But you're right. With him being able to go backwards and laterally and break things out, I mean, do you see San Francisco maybe putting a spy on him, and would that even help?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that would help in his situation. And you're taking a man out of coverage if you do that.
Yeah.
I think they almost need to dare the Chiefs to run. You know, drop eight people in the coverage, rush three, and say, okay, you know, let's see if you can actually run the ball, because they Kansas City does not have a great rushing attack. You know, Damian Williams, LeSean McCoy, you know, they I don't think either one of them had 500 yards this season. You know, to me, that would be the way I would do it, is just see if Kansas City will take the bait there, drop people in the cover, and see if you can get them to be a running team and try to shut them down that way.
Yeah, but if you only put three men rushing him, he might be able to wreak havoc with his legs.
He might. He might.
Not that that's
might,
his first choice, but he might be able to do it. You know, he's that good with his legs, too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of pick your poison, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. There's no easy answers, and that's why it's the Super Bowl. And that's why they're here. They're a multidimensional team with him at quarterback. So it's going to be, there's a lot of fascinating matchups in this game, but that, to me, the Chiefs passing offense versus the 49ers passing defense is the one that's going to be the most fun to watch tomorrow and the key to the game, probably.
Well, and the other side of it is, and we've talked about this, and I'm sure you've talked about it, is not letting Mahomes have the football much. In other words, running out the clock on offense, San Francisco grinding, long drives so that he doesn't have as many possessions to hurt you as he normally does. Can something like that work?
Yeah, and I mean, San Francisco has shown a great ability to run the ball. Obviously, you know, with most having 220 yards in the championship game, and you know, Jimmy G has not had to do too much for them. That could be the way you go. You'll Super Bowl 25 game plan, right? That's what the Giants did against the Bills. Since that game, that's kind of been the blueprint when you face an explosive offense. To me, the underrated unit in this game, and I wrote about it today in the post, is the Chiefs defense. Because their numbers for like the season are not good. But if you actually look at it, they did a little bit. They weren't very good for the first 10 weeks of the season. The last 6 weeks plus the playoffs, they were really good. They let up 7 touchdowns in the last 6 weeks of the regular season total. Their running totals went way down. They just something seemed to click. It maybe took a little time for them to get used to Spagnuolo's defense his first year there. They had some injuries and some different guys came in, and they just seemed to be playing a lot better defense. And obviously, they did a great job against Derrick Henry in the championship game. He was on such a roll, and they held him to 69 yards. You know, can they shut down this 49ers rushing attack is the other big question to me in this game, and I think they might be able to. I think this defense is legit right now.
Well, I think the difference, though, is that San Francisco with the three-headed monster, the running back, plus all the motion. You know, I'm watching their games, and somebody equated it to three-card Monty, where you don't even know who's got the ball, and they do misdirection, they do motion, they'll flip it back and do gadgets. I mean, there's just so much diversity there and so much misdirection there that it's really hard for any defense to cover them.
Yeah, it's a different rushing attack than what they saw in Tennessee. Tennessee hand the ball to Derrick Henry and then run downhill, right? Like this is like you said, there's a lot of deception here, a lot of counters, and Kyle Shanahan everyone is rumored about him as a coach. He's been around him and his play design. There's going to be cat and mouse to this game, and we'll see what he pulls out. But I think the Chiefs might be for the Chiefs. I think they're going to try to force Garoppolo to make plays and see what he can do because he hasn't had to in the playoffs, really. But he's had a really good season. I mean, he's kind of got lost, because he only threw 8 passes in his championship game. And he wasn't a game manager all season. He had some big games for them. So, I think if Garoppolo is asked to do something, he'll be able to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of the Saints game where they score 48 points and he gets 357 yards and 4 touchdown passes. So he's capable, and that's something that people have sold him short because they didn't use him much in the playoffs, really.
Yes, yeah, because a lot of people just haven't seen them all season. They saw him in the playoffs, and they're like, oh, this is not good. But no, he's able to do it if he has to.
Yeah, and they really, they didn't use Kittle much, Sanders, Samuel. I mean, these guys were kind of invisible, but they block. That's the thing.
Do.
They aren't catching the ball. You're thinking, okay, they're not doing their job. They're not doing anything, but they're blocking.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah, that's like Kittle is amazing, because the new age tight end is kind of the guy who splits out. He's an extra wide receiver, right? Like most of them are wide receivers now. But Kittle, he is just some toughness about him. And he threw some great blocks in that game a couple weeks ago. He's over 1,000 yards receiving this season, 100 catches, but he also can open some holes for the running backs if he's asked to.
Well, I'm leaning to San Francisco in a close game. It sounds like you're leaning to Kansas City with Mahomes. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes, you're correct. Yeah, and I'll admit, I down here, I cover the Chiefs. Like that's how we divide up at the post. Since I cover the Jets, I get the AFC team. Paul Schwartz gets the NFC team. So I haven't heard the 49ers as much. So I might be getting suckered in a little bit because I've heard the Chiefs talk and I've concentrated on the Chiefs a lot this week. But I think Patrick. You can't tell. I think Patrick Mahomes is just unbelievable. I think he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks ever when all is said and done. I could just see him having a huge game on Sunday.
Yeah, he's certainly headed in that direction. You know, something at you, an X factor that I didn't hear a lot of talk about, and that's J-Lo and Shakira. Now, there's always in the Super Bowl a long halftime. And
yes.
That's when, you can certainly make adjustments depending on how it goes in the first half. We've heard the monkey on the back of Andy Reid and what he does and how he coaches and everything else. You give Shanahan an advantage there, or Reid with his experience and he's been burned before? What are you thinking?
I think they're both great coaches. I think the criticism of Andy in the past has been time management more than anything, and his game management, not necessarily the game planning aspect of it. And I think, I think they're so good at this point, Richard, I think second half adjustments and stuff won't be that big of a factor. I think these teams are just going to go out and do what they do and trade blows. I think sometimes we overrate that stuff in the media. It really more comes down to players, but the thing that just stands out to me about the Chiefs in sort of the intangible category, if you will, if you're looking for something like that. I covered that game last year in the AFC Championship game when they lost to the Patriots, and it was like, immediately after that game, those guys were thinking about this game. They were next year we're going to get to the Super Bowl. And basically, the question in the Chiefs was, what do we have to do to get to the Super Bowl? They made massive changes on defense with Spagnuolo coming in. They brought Honey Badger in, Frank Clark, all to get to this game. So I think they've been, they're kind of been, this is the next step for them as a team. The 49ers are a surprise, right? I don't know if anyone really thought the 49ers were going to be in the Super Bowl this year after, even with Garoppolo's injury having a big effect last year for their poor season. I don't think we were picking them to go to the Super Bowl. So I wonder if the 49ers are going to be a little bit more just happy to be here, that kind of thing. And maybe maybe their Super Bowl win is going to come next year or the year after that or something like that. I just feel like the Chiefs are sort of a team that have been focused on this day for a year since they lost to Brady, and I think that might give them a little edge.
Depending on who wins the coin flip at the beginning of the game, usually teams want to take the second half kickoff.
Yeah.
Do you see it being any different tomorrow?
Only one I would think, maybe if the 49ers might not want to give Mahomes the ball to start the game, because they might want to put their offense on the field and try to establish something themselves and not let the Chiefs' offense go out there. But I do think both teams will probably lean toward the second half. I mean, they almost always do with the defer to the second half. But the 49ers would be the ones, the only ones I could see that maybe they say, let's start with our offense on the field and try to get something going.
Final question, having nothing to do with the Super Bowl this year anyway. It's been pretty clear the owners want a 17-game season. There'll be more money for the players, no doubt. If they do that, are the players going to be seduced by the money, or do you think there's a strong feeling that, 16's enough, too many injuries as it is, we don't want to go the extra yard? What do you think?
I think it's going to be about negotiation, Richard, and what the players want. This, I don't think it's necessarily money. I mean, that's one aspect of it, but do they ask for more lenient marijuana testing? Do they want the marijuana policy rolled back a little bit more? I think it's going to be a trade. I think there's going to be a negotiation with a trade thing. The funny thing to me, I saw a report from somebody that said they're talking about if they do go to that 17-game season, they're going to, go back to, I think it's two preseason games. They were going to dial back the work and training camp. They were going to reduce the offseason even more. When you get to CBA negotiations, the only group I'm not at the table are the coaches because the coaches will be miserable if they have even less of an off season.
Crappy football till the middle of October if you do.
Yeah,
that, we've already seen.
Adam Gase is trying year two of the Jets, right? He can't even talk to Sam Darnold right now about football. He can say, "Hi, Sam, how you doing?" But he cannot talk to him about football until the middle of April. And it just seems like, I understand limiting like hitting and that kind of stuff. I just think there has to be some kind of more of an element in the off season where these guys can work on their craft and learning offense and defense. And if it sounds like if they go to the 17 game schedule, it's going to be even more reduced than it is already, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I would agree, and I don't like that idea. Well, only let the players play 16 and have to absolutely sit out one game because
yeah, you can't do that.
that doesn't make sense. You know, your star quarterback is not going to be in a game, and how do you know which game and all that? So
right.
I don't like that
idea. And I also think I have a 10-year-old son. You know, if I brought him to a game and I wanted to see Patrick Mahomes, you know, and I bought the tickets to the when the Chiefs come into MetLife Stadium, and I bring them there. Oh no, this is the day Patrick Mahomes is sitting out. It's going to be what the NBA is going through to a greater extent,
because
it's only 16 games. So I just don't think they can do that to their fans.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay, well, we'll see which one of us is right, and maybe we'll chat about it next weekend. Thanks a lot,
all right, Richard,
Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Costello from The Post with his prediction. He likes the Chiefs. I'm leaning toward the Niners.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.